Dearly beloved in Christ, today is a day of shame, because as of January 22nd, 1973, there is no protection in law for the most defenseless and the most innocent, in a civic sense, of all human beings. It is worse than a dread prostitution. It means that any mafia front organization that launders their blood money, any organization like, for example, an abortion clinic that kills babies for profit, a profit-making organization to kill infants, these things are persons in law, entitled to all the rights and privileges of a person. And a human being, 1 minute before birth, is not a person. We need very soberly to take to heart today our Lord's words in St. Matthew 5. Particularly from verse 20 on. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. My dear Christian friends, previous experience of this microphone compels me to ask you, can you hear if I speak like this? If we are to see as the Lord does, as the Lord unfolds it before us, if we are to see the spiritual meaning of the law, and not merely the outward letter as the Pharisees largely saw it, then we need to see and ask the question, how do we as Lutherans, and now as Lutheran pastors to be, how ought we to respond to the ghastliness of the Holocaust, that at the rate of 1.3 million babies every year has now surpassed the Holocaust with the Jews in World War II. What is our attitude to that? There is one strain of thought that says, we're the church and that's the same. There's nothing we can do. We leave it alone. Let me read what Luther says in the Large Catechism on this commandment. To following our Lord, who takes the most difficult commandment to prove to the Pharisees that they are guilty even before that. Surely not killing the Pharisees' thought. And that's the one that he convicts them of. Luther writes this. In the second place, this commandment is violated not only when a person actually does evil, but also when he fails to do good to his neighbor, or though he has the opportunity, fails to prevent, protect, and save him from suffering bodily harm or injury. If you send a person away naked when you could clothe him, you have let him freeze to death. If you see anyone suffer hunger and do not feed him, you have let him starve. Likewise, if you see anyone condemned to death unjustly or in similar peril and do not save him, although you know ways and means to do so. You have killed him. It will do you no good to plead that you did not contribute to his death by word or deed, for you have withheld your love from him and robbed him of the service by which his life might have been saved. But does this mean, then, that we as a church must rush out and try to rule the state by the church? Not at all. What Luther refers to here, how can we do it when we see innocent people condemned to death? It's not the church now that undertakes political change, but it is we as individuals who owe our neighbors our love. Even at great personal cost, it is we who have the obligation as persons, and especially in a society like ours, where the politicians respond to public opinion. And therefore we, as part of the Christian community, will have to say, if mass murder is politically respectable, then only because we, who are Christians, form a large part of the populace, because we have failed to exercise our citizenship in such a way as to protect these defenseless people. So, it is a matter of seeing that this command requires of us not that we rule the state by the Bible. The natural law is perfectly sufficient. Because when we act as citizens in the political realm, we're motivated by love for Christ. So doing our duty to God, to our neighbor, this is a moral issue. A deeply moral matter. It is what we owe one another. And remember, the Lord would have saved Sodom had there been 10 righteous men there. There is another pair of antitheses, and that is this. As pastors, in talking to people about this, we ought to avoid two things. One, the kind of sentimentality that is today regarded as being evangelical, where being evangelical means basically being gutless. Evangelical does not mean gutless. Evangelical means that we are deeply committed to this, that we find salvation for ourselves and for our people only in the gospel of God, and therefore that we cannot yield one whit of that by which alone we stand before God. We're not doing anybody any favors when we say to people who have done abortions or who've had them or contemplating them or make light of it. We're not doing them any favors by saying, just believe in Jesus and then if you have difficult decisions, well, that's all right. Believe in Jesus and anything goes. That's not evangelical. We're not doing people any favors by robbing them of clear moral category. And neither the Lord himself nor the New Testament do that. And one other way in which seemingly we are not being sentimental and yet leave everybody very comfortable, another way would be to crusade. In the typical sort of reform way, crusade against our national sins. There are the evil abortion, look, so many millions, all these wicked people out there. Meanwhile, we in here, we're quite comfortable. We will quite smile because the evil in our there, these wretched clinics, these blood-sucking doctors, these terrible women who destroy their own flesh and blood. No, we can't preach like that. Because Christian preaching means that we never see the evil simply somewhere else. The evil is also among us. It may take different forms, but all of us are guilty before the fifth commandment. And our preaching must never imply, much as we must in last Sunday's epistle, hate the evil. We must never preach in a way that some poor girl who, in her terrible agony, then consented to an abortion, or somebody who has done this sort of thing, that they should despair and feel there is no mercy, there is no hope. Every last publican and sinner must know they are being called by our preaching not to despair, nor to smugness, but nothing matters. They are being called, as all of us are daily called, to repentance. No matter what they have done or not done, there is nothing that is unforgivable except the sin against the Holy Ghost, which consists in this very thing, that people harden themselves against the mercy of God. One of the terrible things about this particular sin and crime is that it is a fundamental offense against mercy. The very Hebrew root, racham, and in many European languages like barmherzigkeit, and the Dutch word for it, I think some Scandinavian word for mercy, are based on the word for womb. So when God and when any human language looks about for a word to express mercy, it can find no better starting point than that tender protectiveness which the mother has towards that new life which is conceived in her. To attack that is to destroy mercy and pity, compassion at its very root. But there is mercy also for those that repent of that, and there is for all. So let our preaching not rob people of clear moral categories. Let it not confuse the church with the state, but deal in the state on the basis of natural law. It's quite enough in the public sphere, quite enough to argue, look, here's the picture. This is a human being. Nobody can deny that. Do you believe in the public arena? Do you politicians believe that it is lawful simply to destroy wantonly this human life? Do you know, when the victorious Allies marched into Nazi Germany at the end of World War II, in those places where there were concentration camps, the Allies took the local population and marched them through these places of horror and compelled them to watch films of what had happened there. I don't think that made for good family reading or family entertainment, and people fainted and wept when they saw what went on there, but they had to know to ensure that this would never happen again. And of course, other generations will forget. Don't forget, the thing that needs to be done is to wake up both our Christian people and our fellow citizens to the ghastliness of this Holocaust, of what it means that there is open season on unborn human beings. And I'm quite convinced, as in Switzerland, where 2 years ago a referendum to liberalize abortion laws failed decisively. It failed most decisively in the German-speaking canton. It failed by a 90% margin. Why? Because every household had been supplied photographic evidence, pictures of what is involved. You may say that's bad taste. I say it would be immoral to continue to lead people into the pipe dream that these are just cells. These are human lives, recognizable human lives, and once you've seen them, you can never forget them. So today, let us observe this day annually until this ghastliness by the mercy of God can be brought to a stop. Let us observe a day that's rarely observed in the modern church. A day of humiliation and prayer. And as Christians, our prime thing is this. Let us beg today God. This is a very complex thing. We need to beg God today. Let us do it on our knees as we pray the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is that most all-embracing of all prayers. And let us here pray for the many, many millions of people involved. Let us pray for the protection for the unborn babies who can't possibly defend themselves. That protection and under the law would be granted them. Let us pray for the women who have committed this crime. Let us pray that God would lead them to genuine repentance and faith and a genuine Christian life. Let us pray for the doctors who have profited from this, and to the nurses, and to those who, in difficult circumstances, participate in it. Let us pray for the blind leaders of the blind, clergy, clergy who counsel people to kill their babies, and who make $25 in some cases per case, and some of which profit to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars by referring people to these butcheries. Let us pray for everything connected with that. Let us pray for men and women and for ourselves. Let us pray for all of us who know that the basic sin, the basic reality which ends in the terrible sight of destroyed human life, the basic sin is hate, selfishness, and lust. Murder is not committed simply by the finger. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And our heart is just as sinful as any abortionist. That is, according to our flesh, according to our sinful nature. This heart daily needs to be forced. Daily we need the weapon of God. For this let us pray, that God may graciously deal with our hearts, may overrule our evil, and will bring fruits of repentance, and will allow us to serve him in a way that pleases him, and that will be for the welfare and well-being of our neighbors. For whatever you do, to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me.